Here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, founder of the Heartfelt Foundation, and other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about MSIA.
If I am not going to be willing to stand by my spouse and assist my spouse to lift up through everything, then why am I there? I know, karma. It's not either karma, it's stupid. You're using jargon to cop out on responsibility. You're using vocabulary to skirt the issue. The issue is you are together to lift and grow and be together. Whatever it takes is whatever it takes. Can you declare that ahead of time? Rarely. The only things you can declare ahead of time are things that have a recipe, or things that have a warranty, or instructions that come with it. And often, it doesn't matter what all that is either, it still doesn't come out right. How many of you women in here have ever followed a recipe and after you got all through and it came out, it didn't taste like you thought it would? That's what I mean about a recipe. Warranty. How many of you ever had a warranty on something and you went down to get it fixed and the warranty was invalid? That's what I mean about that one. How many of you have ever had I have to tell this one on myself because it was one of my most stupid times, but one of my funnest times. I was with a family for Christmas, and the man, real good friend of mine, had these 3 or 4 or 5 kids, and he had log cabins or something that they were going to put together. And he and I were both grown, mature men, whatever that means. That's open to a lot of debate. And his wife was sitting watching he and I go through these diagrams and instructions of how to assemble what was going on. And he read the instructions and started, and I read the instructions and started. And he started it one way, and I was said, no, that's another way. And he and I went back over what the instructions said. Even though it was printed on the paper, folks, we couldn't get agreement. Even though it showed diagrams for little kids to put these toys together, we couldn't get it to do it. After an hour and a half of us having fun, and his dear sweet wife, boy, was she, because she could have said a lot of things and she didn't. She just said, oh, you fools, and sit down and put the thing together right in front of us. He and I sit back on chairs looking at each other, and I said, she didn't even read the directions. He looked at me and says, my wife doesn't need directions. Around here, she gives directions. I said, why didn't you have her put that together to start with? He said, she was letting me be boss while you were here. I said, do you know where there's another one just like her? I'd like that. He said, no, I got this one and I think that's it. And I said, okay. I looked around a long time and that was one, and a real great one. Were any of you born with a set of directions of how you work? Besides Dr. Spock's book, which doesn't work, as he now is saying. Did any of you come with a warranty or a guarantee or anything like that, or directions or how to assemble you or what to do? The reason why is because we are a recreative principle walking around as a human being. And we can recreate and reassemble as we so desire once we have followed the rules and principles of recreation. Those do not come out of the body, nor out of the emotions, nor out of the mind, but they come out of who you are as a real live entity who lives and breathes while your body sleeps, who is cognitively aware of nightmares and dreams, who knows often when to get up at 7 o'clock, 1 minute before the alarm goes off, who has all sorts of intrinsic abilities of knowing who's calling on the phone to pick up the receiver and there they are, who has funny feelings during the day, and you don't know why, but then later on you find out what happened and it fits. And we have all sorts of these evidential experiences that take place and there's no way to track it in terms of modern scientific approaches. It keeps recreating itself to give you the glimpse, the insightful experience that goes beyond the intellectual or the emotional methods of gathering information. And you just know. French-speaking people have a term for this called déjà vu. Literally and loosely translated means, I've seen or done this before. How many of you ever had that experience? You know who I'm talking to tonight, don't you? People's consciousness are changing. Now, here comes more of the religious approach onto this. All religious scriptures, and not all scriptures are religious, by the way, that are validated upon the experiences of truth. In other words, they have given you like a roadmap from here to another city, and you can follow that roadmap and get there, and follow the signs, and read the signs of the times, and make it. All of those have said, at this time in the existence of the earth and the peoples thereupon, there'll be a greater spiritual outflowing than there has been over, then it lists a great period of time. Some people have said for the last 2,000 years, others have said for the last 25,000 years. At the same time, there's a great outflowing. The scriptures also say there's the greater period of darkness. And there needs to be a greater outflow to match the greater darkness. The greater darkness is man's inhumanity to man. And the greater flow of spirit is man's understanding and loving of man. It's involved in exactly the same modus operandi, the very same thing. Here we see a couple holding hands as loving. But if they squeeze hard enough, it's inhumanity. The very same thing taken to an extreme becomes the pain and the suffering. A little bit of salt and soup can be real good. Too much salt makes suffering if you have to eat it. It is exactly the same thing. The salt produced both the delicacy and the yucky. Man's consciousness is producing the same thing. It is the salt of the earth. Salt's also a preservative, which means, and if we don't change, that we've created gets preserved not necessarily for us, but against us. Because we have to then keep recollection, remembrance, and track of what we've said and done in case somebody goes to catch us up later. Now, the thing that usually produces that type of behavior is a lie. If you lie, you got to remember what you said. And if you tell a bunch of lies, you got to keep track of all of them and who you said them to so that your story carries some degree of truth to it, but then I don't know if you could find truth in the lie, except you're real true to the lie, that you keep it going. And often these people are called con men. You all understand the word a con man? Interesting thing about the dictionary, when it says the word con, it's used in these type of words, convict, conviction. Convict is one who's being penalized, but conviction is a statement of beingness about where you're going and what you're going to do. But a convict who's been convicted has a conviction, and if you find the root word and the meaning of that, the C-O-N means a teaching phenomena, a learning process. So if you've been conned, you've either been ripped off or taught. And usually you've got to be ripped off before you learn. So if somebody conned you, don't go make them wrong. Because they couldn't con you unless you ran your stupidness. Did you like to know what that looks like? Here's what running stupidness looks like. Up comes this man, and he says to you, "Have I got a deal for you? Oh boy, somebody cares about me. They have a deal for me. I'm valuable. Oh darn." Ego moves. The ego moves based upon lack. Lack is a process of emptiness. Emptiness is because you're not aware of who you are. So in the lack, there's a process called reaching that we call greed or lust. And you can interchange those words and they'll produce a similar result. The end result of greed or lust, you can't tell by looking at it. You can only tell if a person tells you what it was that they were doing, their intention or motivation. The end result, nah. It's difficult. When he starts to tell you A, B, C, D, and these letters symbolize information he's given to you, and you run this type of thing, "I know it." He says A, and you say, "Oh yeah." B, "Oh yeah." C, "Oh right." D, "Yes indeed." He goes E, and you say, "Sure." Then F, you go, "Oh right on." He says G, and by that time he's gone with your money. How did he manage to get all that far along with your money without you being aware? Because when he came to see, you pretended you knew what he was talking about. You ran stupid. "I knew what he meant when he said that." Did you? How come you didn't ask him those questions then? If you knew it, why didn't you stop him right there? "Well, because, I thought I knew." Come on. You could have, when you come to a place where you don't know, you say, "Hold it. You went beyond my experience. You went beyond my data. You went beyond what I can verify. Now let's get the pencil and paper out and lay this thing out in more detail so I can know what you know." That con is teaching you. If you don't do that, then that con is teaching you. But he's teaching you that you ran stupid, and that's exactly what they're hoping you're going to do, is run the pretension of knowing it when you don't. If you get ripped off, if you get a bad deal, you could have got the deal someplace else, you pretended that you knew something that was not true, and you pretended it was, and the guy hooked you, and now you feel bad, and you want your money back, and all those other mundane things, and he looks at you and says, "Business is business." Now they say, "Buyer beware." So because people are stupid, you have consumer advocate groups to try to protect you against your own dumbness because you won't learn. One of the greatest learning experiences about how to fall and hurt yourself is to fall from a 10-story building. People say, "Oh, if you fall from a 10-story building, you know, that hurts." No, falling from a 10-story building does not hurt. It's when you hit. See, in there, you ran assumption of information. That's what the con does for you. He gets you to run assumptions of information, and underneath, that was an obvious one for you. But his won't be obvious. He's made a little detour. And then your mind takes off with all this other stuff, and he's over here manipulating. Maybe he's a prestidigitator, and he gets it off from your pocket or someplace before you know it. And then you're going to blame him for being a pickpocket. What did you have in your pockets that were valuable to be picked? Well, I was carrying my mortgage papers and my pink slip and all my credit cards and all my money. And what are you carrying those things around for? So they'll be safe. With you, they're safe. You that can be ripped off and changed, they're safe. We come then to the radical point of view. And this is the one where your egos are just going to say, no way, that's crazy. Except later on, when you get ripped off again, you might say, I think I'll look at that. So the radical point of view is, I'm ignorant of what's going on in this life. And I don't really know what's going on in this life, just a whole lot of the time. So I think I'm just going to sit here in the state of not knowing, divine ignorance, if you will, and make it okay that I don't know everything, and it's okay for somebody to teach me, and I don't care who it is, whoever can teach me. I've had people come to me and say, John Roger, will you teach me such a thing? I say, can you learn? One person I said that to said, well, you know, I don't know. No one's ever asked me that before. Can I learn? I said, well, how can I teach you if you can't learn? I don't want to waste our time. Let's decide right now. Person sat down and said, yes, I can learn. I said, well, here's how we're going to decide whether you can learn. And I said some statements. And I said, repeat them back to me. And they couldn't. I said, your first thing in learning is listen to what I'm saying. You're already listening to what you're saying. So if you want to learn, go tell yourself, because that's all you want to hear. Or stop and listen to what's being said with no judgment, without anything on it, but just listen. It is one of the greatest attributes we have in the process and the principle of recreation is listening. Listening how we set ourselves up. Listen how we generalize. Listen how we distort. Listen how we delete and withhold information from people. Listen to our reasons and our excuses for our existence. When you get around to that, you may find yourself wanting to throw up. It's like, I'm just really sick of myself doing that. No wonders I have a life that's not all that productive and wonderful and beautiful. Look what I'm doing to myself. I can't pass a cookie jar unless my hand flings out there and grabs a cookie and shoves up my mouth. I've always got food in my mouth. I say, what do I do? Just jump in there? You're walking by the cookie jar and cookie flies through the air and in your mouth. Of course they want to say yes. They say, well, but the cookie was in the jar. I mean, you know, it was there to be eaten. I say, right, I understand it's there. Who put it there? They say, well, now that's not fair. So it isn't meant to be fair. It's meant to teach and get information. I put it there. Where did you get it to put it there? I bought it at the store. Now just remember who's doing that. Because you're the one setting yourself up for your problem. Don't I get to blame Nabisco or Shredded Wheat or somebody or Oreo? Yeah, go ahead and blame them. Does that take the weight off your body? But this tastes so good. I know you're addicted to the taste in your mouth. And that is what is recreating to you the principle of overweight, because you're not watching that. People say, well, the reason I eat so much is because I'll feel full. I'll tell you something about your body. Here comes the physiology. If you eat till you're full, your stomach will increase its diameter just a little bit. Every time you eat to your full, it must increase its capacity to contain that each time. So each time you eat till you're full, you got to eat a little more than last time. Or you got to keep shoving in more all during the period of time. But if I don't eat till I'm comfortable, I don't feel good. Tough. Do you feel good now that you're fat? No, I feel terrible. I look in the mirror and I go, yick. Well, which is it that you want? Well, how do I get rid of it? Decide how much you're going to eat and eat that amount. And don't eat any more than that amount. And then the stomach will start shrinking to match that amount. No kidding. Yeah. It's called losing weight. No, it's just that simple. Yeah. And then, but it'll come off my breast first. And I don't want to lose my breast. You won't. It's okay to go around flat-chested for 3 or 4 weeks while you lose great big hips and stomachs and thighs, because the hormones of your body are coming back in balance, and what's naturally to be yours will naturally reappear. And look, if that isn't yours anyway, why carry it around? Does it make a lot of sense? No, it doesn't make sense. We don't do things that make sense. We do things that make us either comfortable or uncomfortable, and we use that principle in which to live our life. In that state, we cannot surrender and give up. That is blocking us, so who we are comes forward. The spirit that we are, in truth, the radical truth of who we are, comes forward in our life, in our eyes, and that principle is the principle of recreation, or creation, or God, or the divine, or the spirit, or any other term you want to call it. It comes forward if you will sacrifice the condition of your contraction. You contract because you feel uncomfortable, so you contract and then you eat to feel comfortable. That makes you expand physically. You drink because you're contracted inside, and if you drink, that releases it so you get to expand a little bit. Except later on when it contracts, it really slams shut, called a hangover or headache. And then it's, don't talk, don't make any noise, that's too loud, don't do that, get out of here, I hate all of you. Well, that's a real loving place to find yourself after having drunken yourself to a place of loving and devotion and sacrifice. Now you're ready to kill everybody. We have to sacrifice the statement of contraction. We have to sacrifice contraction. Every time we feel unloving, alienated, and separated, we have to sacrifice that feeling by doing nothing with it, except just sitting there with it and breathing in and breathing out. And the very nature of the spirit inside of us starts the flow opening automatically. And you do not have to deal with the food, the cigarettes, the alcohol, the addictions, the husband, the wife, the depression. Those things fall away as being absolutely and totally unnecessary in your life. They drop away. An example. Back in high school, that old gang of mine, boy, we're all going to live together and die together. Yeah, well, where are they today? I don't know. I haven't seen them in years. Everybody just sort of went their separate ways. I mean, nobody really said goodbye. It's just they were no longer part of what I was doing. And we're all still great friends. And, gee, I just never think about them. That's how these other things work, too. They're just old friends that leave and go. 20 pounds here, 30 pounds there. You know, $4,000 of cigarettes over there. Something over here and sugar sweets over here. And then we get to live in a pure statement of who we are. That pure statement is just one of the conductor of divine energy. We are the only ones that can conduct divine energy. We are the only ones that can conduct divine energy. That's it. The others have divine energy in them to the level that they can contain it. We can contain it and conduct it and give it to other people in the statements of sharing, supporting, uplifting, loving, raising a family, caring, and sacrificing that that is not part of our total beingness to uplift that that we've agreed to. Anything that gets in the way between you, your wife, your children, must be sacrificed. As a statement of that will make you contract and force separation between you and your wife and you and your children if you don't sacrifice it. Called what? I want to be free. Free in the statement of agreement. People say, I want to be free, and they think that's a license to run over everybody. To be free brings about the principle of recreation on a higher level for everybody. To give and bring freedom to everybody, not by statement, not by teaching, but by the mere action of your beingness in the free state. But you must go through that suffering of sacrificing. It is a positive thing. I don't know, some people can't give up cigarettes, they really suffer. They can't give up coffee, they really suffer. They can't give up this, they really suffer. But when they give it up and walk away, there's no more suffering. There's only the freedom present of who they are as a divine person. That's us, walking around disguised as stupids, as idiots, as all sorts of things. And yet we are the divine conductor. To conduct the divine, we must be in contact with that. To be in contact with that, we must meditate on that. To meditate on that, we must go in where that is. To go where that is, we must close our eyes so the world does not distract us and let the mind run out its energy and emotions fall. And then what spontaneously arises is the joy of our own spirit. And the soul manifests itself right there. And that's you, Beirush Beisham.
John Rogers' closing words were Beirush Beisham, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.